Hello and welcome to Inspired, your grown-up girl talk. Happy Women's History Month, everybody.
A whole month.
Samantha, happy Women's History Month. This is hard to say.
I know.
But it's March and
it is
the month to celebrate women and all things that we do.
Can I just say?
We support everybody and everything.
We do. And can I just say how bullshit it is that we only get 1 month dedicated to ourselves, gals, because every day in my mind should be a day to celebrate women. And that's what we do here at Inspired.
I feel like we should have the whole year for sure. Maybe we can give November, December to like Thanksgiving, Christmas, and we'll take the other 10 months.
That seems fair. As we have found over 170 episodes of Inspired, women are doing big time things across the board internationally. And it's something that more and more people should be talking about on a daily basis. So with that, welcome to our Women's Month episode.
Yeah. And we actually have, I know we're not even a week into March yet, but we actually have already done quite a bit of celebrating, as we should, as we've earned the right to do for this month. And one of the things that we did that we've talked about doing for years, we never did, we finally did this year, was we went to the California Conference for Women last week in Santa Clara.
It was insane. It was almost, I think it was 4,600 women. I was completely aghast.
That was like 4,580 women and like 20 men.
Yeah, there was a couple men. We found them when we were using their bathroom. Actually, which is a funny story, but I'd never been to anything at that magnitude in my life to see that many people in a room. It was somewhat overwhelming, but it was also very invigorating because you could just feel the vibe of like everybody was in there for the right reasons. The speakers, which we're going to get into, were so good. And just the overall, like, I don't know, like I left there going like, yes, this is.
There was a lot of energy just across the board of support. Like, you knew, you didn't know 4,600 women, but you knew that any one of those women would have had your back in 1 second. And to be in a room full of that kind of energy was a pretty unique experience.
It was really cool. It was definitely worth the 2-hour drive in and the 2-hour drive home. So the first speaker they had was a woman that did the AI. She had a whole like PhD program that she had written about the AI and how they don't acknowledge women of color, or
they don't recognize it was face recognition, and the software, the system would have a hard time recognizing women of color as women, which was really interesting, that they would assume male, and then when they put on a white mask it would recognize them as women,
which is insane.
The speaker
was Dr. Joy, I'm going to murder her last name, but it's Balami.
Who's writing that code?
Her headline was the Artificial Intelligence Expert, Artist Founder, and Algorithmic Justice League. Incredible speaker, but it was very interesting when you saw how a computer really is discriminatory towards women and women of color. It was saying, you know, like it had Oprah Winfrey's face and it said she was a 52-year-old man, you know?
So AI, once again, not perfect, although, you know, imperfect in an imperfect world. It's probably perfectly imperfect for the world we live in today.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Then they had Kristen Kish, who is a top chef, a Bravo celebrity, if you will. She has Arlo Gray, her restaurant in Austin. And she was someone I had never heard of before. But what, like, she got up there and she goes, "This is my worst nightmare, speaking in front of all these people." And she said that TV was actually easier because it, you know, there's only, you know, 50 people in the room. And her story was about, you know, coming out as a 28-year-old. She was born in Seoul, Korea, and adopted and raised in the Midwest. And definitely, you know, being a lesbian was probably not on the, you know,
the bingo card.
It wasn't on the bingo card, but it wasn't also really supported, you know, as she was growing up. So it was her journey of what it took to become the woman she is today, and just like super incredible.
Yeah, pretty amazing messaging from her. Just not only sort of what she went through to really start living in her own truth, but also to be a woman who won Top Chef, which is a pretty unique position as it is. And then to come back and host Top Chef and be asked to do that, which she's like, this is not anything I ever, like, in a million years thought I'd be doing. And so we talk a lot about the meandering journey and being open to the possibilities of a journey that takes you off the path that you think you're supposed to be on. And I think she embodies that.
Then we heard from the ex-Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern of New Zealand. Now, let's underline and bold print this woman. She was incredible. To have her talk about how she became the Prime Minister was not like it was not the job that she signed up for. She was kind of just put in the role when the current, her boss stepped down. And then she had, you know, these major life events, you know, fires and mass shootings. And then, of course, COVID. And if you recall, New Zealand was quite in the news because they took a completely different stance and were like, we're shutting it down. You're not coming in. You're not going out. And they were one of the countries that I think fared pretty well as a result of her leadership and also just, you know, shutting it down.
I was going to say, geographically, you can do that in New Zealand. It's an island and yeah. You can close the entire thing.
No problem.
So I'm not trying to discount her leadership and the balls it took to do what she had to do, because there were a lot of people that were disagreeing with that approach in every way, shape, or form. But they really limited the spread. Interestingly, she did a lot of what we did here in terms of limiting travel and limiting the number of people that could get together in any event and sort of increasing that slowly. But one of the things she did is when they did allow gatherings, that it had to be less than 100, right? They mm-hmm. start, and as did we here, but she came out with that. I think it was like a week before her wedding. And so she had to cancel her wedding because they had obviously more than 100 people coming, I guess. So she did not get married until like a month ago.
Yeah.
So the wedding was delayed for 3 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, my whole thing in leadership, I will never ask you to do anything I'm not willing to do myself.
Thank you.
And she obviously lives that as well, that she knew when she was putting those stipulations on, she knew what that meant to her and her wedding. I'm just going to say Gavin Newsom went out to dinner at the French Laundry with a group when nobody was supposed to be going out to dinner with a group that size.
Right.
I'm just saying, and this is a woman who canceled her wedding.
Yeah.
So. And she had, you know, she was one of the, I'm assuming probably one of the only, one of the first, one of the only world leaders who gave birth while in
office. Yes.
And so there was that whole, but, you know, it was really interesting because when her quote unquote boss stepped down, who was the leader of her party, if you're not familiar with the way elections work in New Zealand, it's not like here where it's an exhaustive process where you listen to a bunch of lunatics for months and commercials bashing each other. That's not how it works. It is 6 weeks. It is get in, get out, get somebody elected. And so he stepped down sort of right at the beginning of this 6 week election period. And so she was asked to step in, and it was 6 weeks and she was all of a sudden the Prime Minister of New Zealand. Not
and
that she wasn't
found
qualified,
out she was pregnant.
But it wasn't, when she said it wasn't really in her, you know, on her bingo card. It wasn't. He was supposed to be the de facto candidate, and then he stepped down and she had to step in. So, but I really, you know, she talked a lot about elections and leadership and, you know, what it means to be a leader and how she tried to approach her leadership. And one of the things that she said was she always tried to make decisions using her true north compass, right? Like, you had to kind of dig deep and go, what is my compass? What's the right thing to do? And then she extrapolated that even further and said, when you elect officials, you have to elect somebody who will lead and guide by their true compass. So as we are, you know, also have Super Tuesday in March, and there's maybe some candidates that we all potentially struggle with their ability to lead based on a true compass. Yeah. You know, I think we all need to sort of look within and say, is that the person that's making the decisions that I would make if I was in that position? Are they being led with that same compass that I want them to be.
Yeah. And that's
as political as I'm going to get
Very, very well, very politically correct, I might add. Another thing that she brought up, which was interesting, is one of the interviews, because she said that she would just get asked the most craziest shit, you know, on these interviews, was if it was okay for an employer to ask if someone was going to have a baby, you know, if they were planning on having a baby, and that would be a way that they would decide if they were going to hire you or not, you know, because if you were trying to get pregnant or wanted to start a family, then that may make an employer not want to. And I was like, that is the worst. I mean, I would think that anybody would think that a woman, of course, she's going to want to have a family. I mean, that's what we do. Everybody wants to have a family, and
do we only consider that when we're hiring women?
Yeah.
Men have kids. I don't like.
Well, and then they could take paternity leave now. And I was just like, I just sit back and think about that. Like, I'd never even thought that that would be, I mean, I don't think that you can ask that here. I'm sure that that's absolutely not allowed.
It actually is not allowed.
Yeah. I was like,
that is illegal.
Yeah. I was thinking as an EPLI moment for insurance, that's probably not going to be, you know, something that we want to pierce the envelope there with. But I mean, just, you know, going back again to the struggles of women in leadership and in work roles, you know, it's just another layer that we get to add, because you do when you have children. I mean, you and I both had kids and were working, and we were those weird gals that went right back at it because that's what we did. But it's, you know, we in America do not embrace the motherhood journey very well. Many other countries do a much better job of it. But again, that's probably a conversation for a different day.
Wait.
Then we moved into, so Brené Brown was supposed to be the major headliner. And when we got there, the first thing out of the MC's mouth was good news, bad news. Bad news being that Brené had COVID and wasn't there. But the good news was that LA was only an hour flight and Viola Davis was going to be taking the stage.
And can we just give props to the organizers, because they found out Brené tested positive for COVID 24 hours before she was supposed to be standing on that stage. So in 24 hours, God love this team, they scrambled and they didn't just get somebody, they got somebody great. They got somebody that, I mean, you could hear kind of the air come out of the balloon in the room when they said Brené tested positive for COVID yesterday and wasn't going to be here. And then as soon as they busted out with who the replacement was, everybody went crazy.
Unbelievable. So
I got to give props where props are due.
No, it was something to see. If you've ever had a chance to listen to her speak, I mean, as an actress, she's phenomenal, but to see her speak, share her story, the way she speaks is like no one I've ever seen, where she'll have the moment, get the thought out, and then there's a pause. And it's not an awkward pause like she's trying to figure out where she was. She knows where she is. She wants you to think about what she just said. And now she's going to give you some more. One of the things I loved was her moment about, you know, we as women are told that we are not to bring our stories and our experiences and our, you know, quote unquote bullshit to the table when we, you know, enter the workplace or enter into a room. And that's not true, because all of the stories and the experiences and the bullshit is what makes us who we are. And so bring all of that with you wherever you go, because that's, you know, the leaves to your tree. And it's that more of us need to embrace that about ourselves, because I think so many of us try to shove that, you know, nobody wants to hear our hardships. And it's not even that you need to share your hardships. It's just like, it's in you. And that's what makes you do better and try harder.
Well, sometimes I feel like we feel the experiences and the emotions of all our experiences deeper than I think men do. And I'm generalizing, and I realize that, and I'm going to generalize. So here we go. I just think we, you know, we have that DNA where we feel it all far deeper and far more emotionally. And yet we are often told or often taught to not bring that through the door, which maybe then makes us more like the men that we are competing with, working with, reporting to, I don't know. So I did think her take on that was really interesting, that it was like, no, because that is who you are, and that makes up who you are. And it's all okay to have that in your backpack.
Yeah. I mean, you got to have it. It's what builds, it's your stripes. We talk about our tiger stripes all the time. The other thing I loved about her was she goes, if your goal at age 50 is to be in a bikini,
She's goes, like, that's not a goal.
That's not a goal, right? I mean, it's embracing age and embracing, you know, the next stages of our lives as we go and get older and become wiser and these incredible beings. And so being able to embrace it. And, you know, she spoke about what it's like to be a woman of color and a woman who's 58 in Hollywood. And it wasn't always, I mean, now she knows. People know who she is, but for her entire career, she would walk in a room and nobody knew who she was. And she was not paid attention to because she was an older woman and she was a woman of color. And,
well, you know, as we get older, we go through that phenomenon where we are no longer seen. You know, we don't command the room in the way we used to. And nothing's changed about us except we have more experience, more life experience, more worldliness to us, more, you know, we're more intelligent about things. We're smarter about the way we're doing life. All these things are good things, yet we walk into a room and we're not seen.
Yeah, I know. Maybe in 2044, we'll be having this conversation and we will be way seen, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're more seen than we used to be, but we're still not seen.
We got a long way to go.
Yeah, we're still not seen all the way. So then, you know,
I got one more for Viola, though. My favorite part of Viola was when she talked about, you know, life is going to be full of valleys and peaks. And, you know, you're not living in the valley. You're going through the valley to get to the peaks. And, you know, there's going to be ups and downs. But she said, success is not when you get to the top of the mountain. She said, I've been there. I've stood on the top of the mountain. I've looked at the landscape. It's amazing. That's not success. Success is when you achieve significance. Mm. And I think that means whatever significance you need in your life, that's when you've achieved success, which, you know, I can live with that.
Yeah. That gave me the chills again, hearing it for the second time. So thank you for reminding me. So flipping the script. So after we did that, we decided we weren't done with our busy Women's Week this last week. We went to the Marin County Teen Girls Conference, and it was a room of 8th grade to 12th grade young ladies doing kind of what we did at the California Big Girl Conference, but for young ladies. And I'd never seen anything like it. They've been doing it here in Marin County for a couple years now. And I got to tell you, like, I walked in that room and I saw all those. I mean, there was 250 girls there and my heart was so full with just like the vibrance of this is the next generation, right? These are the next girls that are going to get out there and be somebody.
So enthusiastic about the opportunities they have in front of them, because people like Viola Davis and Jacinda and their neighbors like you and me have paved the way, and we've opened doors and we're cutting through the weeds to make the path, right? And they see that and they know that, and they have this different attitude of like, that, you know, we talk about, well, you can be anything when you want to grow up, you know, when you grow up, but they actually believe it. And
they believe it.
Yeah, it's all available to them.
Well,
and so the level of enthusiasm was pretty high.
When we were growing up, we didn't have things like that. And, you know, there was always, you know, you could do anything and you could be anything. But in the reality was, I mean, could you really? I don't know. I mean, it was one of those things that we knew we had to work a little harder as we got older to really make the marks that we wanted to make.
Well, you can't be what you can't see, right? As they say. So there wasn't a lot that we could see. We said, oh, I might want to do that. But if you didn't see it, you weren't even sure how you were going to get there. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, that's changed a lot in over the last 20, 30 years, that we see a lot more that we can then identify with.
And they had the girls ambassadors. So they had a whole group of girls that I was actually sitting at the table with that put on the event. You know, they really got the content, the speakers, you know, they really reached out to their peers to see, you know, what do you want to know about? Is it, you know, sexual awareness and, you know, violence? Is it money? Is it fitness? Is it beauty? I mean, they really covered so many different areas that, you know, we're all talking about on a higher level up at this age, but to bring it down to a level that they can understand and relate and, you know, even take a couple key things away and go, wow. I mean, I felt so good after I left there. I was just like I just felt full.
Well, I think that's the trick with these things. Like, the goal is to go in, and if you can leave with a handful of nuggets, you're not going to incorporate everything. You're not going to take away everything, because that can be overwhelming. But if you can go and take away a few nuggets that you can implement in your life to make it better, stronger, faster, whatever that feels like to you, then that's a successful event. And I think both of these really provided that platform for everybody to take away a nugget or two.
And I'm a huge fan of saying yes. It's kind of my theme for the year. And so these events and these things that come up, ladies, you get these emails all the time. Say yes. You know, go take the lunch, take the afternoon, go, you know, listen to the webinar if you're not in a position to get to go and take off for the afternoon. I promise you, you will find something that makes you feel good. I'm going to give a little rapid fire fleece to you because it is Women's Month and you are a very established woman. What is your, like, if you could just say one thing to the women out there, like what would be one piece of womanly advice that you would give our listeners?
Actually, I saw something this morning that kind of resonated with me. So here it is. The next time you're mean to your reflection, remember that legend says the face you have now is the face of the person you loved most in a past life.
Ooh, that's good.
So I'm going to just go with we need to be kinder to ourselves.
We need to be kinder to ourselves. I think that's good.
Like the self-talk, and I'm 100% guilty of this. As anyone who knows me, I have very limited self-confidence and self-esteem. And there's a lot of negative talk that goes in through my brain on a regular basis every day. So I think that's one I'll work on, that, you know, that just be kinder to ourselves.
Yeah, I think so. And it's hard. It's hard because when you step in a cow pie and your day is just like, fuck, you know, like it comes at you so hard and there's so many different variables. I mean, we talk about it all the time and it's like, you know, some days are absolutely better than others. It's hard to be positive and think positive thoughts about yourself. But I do really truly believe that, you know, self-love and loving yourself is the first step to, you know, being able to get out there and show up the best way. My words of advice come from none other than Lauryn Hill, okay, from the Fugees. And she has the saying, how you gonna win when you ain't right within? And so it's finding the rightness inside of you, which is kind of going along with what you're saying, to be able to get out there and be, you can just, you know, the old saying that you can't be good to anybody else if you're not good to yourself. And we as women, you know, we've heard the storyline time and time again, we're the last to take care of ourselves. And so really finding that, you know, little piece of whatever it is that helps you move a little smoother, I think is great. Whether that's working out, whether it's going for a walk, whether that's just sitting in your room, shutting the door, going in the closet. We talked to somebody else last week?
About meditating in the closet. Yeah. We also found out that I don't have a walk-in closet in this house I'm in now.
Yeah, so you're going to struggle with that one.
I'm unable to go into the closet.
Right. And it's also like, I'll share a little personal story. I had a little bit of a, you know, every now and again, you have a meltdown. I had one a couple weeks ago at the pediatrician's office for no other reason than I was just having one of those really overwhelmed days. And like the girls were out of the visit and I was just sitting there with the doctor and I just kind of burst into tears. And, you know, I told her like even the strongest bitches were going to have these days. And she goes, you know what? She actually said, you're damn right. And then she said, it's okay to not have it all figured out. You know, it's okay to feel a little lost or a little like misguided sometimes because that's, you know, going to help you get on track and find the way, but you got to go through it.
100%.
And we got to remember that.
But we don't have to go through it alone, ever.
This is very true. And this is why I love you, because we go through all the things all the time. We often say where one of us is, the other one is very close by.
That's right.
And rightfully so, we are a package deal. And, you know, the podcast and the life work that we do together is, it's, you know, the sisterhood that we have is, it's unbelievable. I couldn't imagine doing it with anyone else.
It's good stuff. And the good news is we still have 3+ weeks left, Women's History Month, that we get to celebrate amazing women in our lives and amazing women that we meet along the way. So I'm excited for what the rest of the month is going to bring.
Same. We've got some great events this week and next and the following. So we will be checking back in, but we wanted to give you a little S&S update. Tell everybody to remember to love themselves, love each other, and get out there this week and be inspired.